I resemble that remark. Anybody else? Three times a charm. Sit back down. No, I'm joking. I say, I don't remember you being there. Amen. Anybody else? Once, going twice. So, well, on behalf of the youth group, we do thank y'all for sending us to camp. It was a blessing. We thank y'all for y'all's support and for the examples you are for our youth. We do thank y'all for that. I made the trivia quiz just a little easier tonight. I think it was easier. We'll see. What was the name of Isaiah's wife? What was the name of Isaiah's wife? May or may not be a trick question. He had two kids. He had two sons. Nope. Huh? Does it what? Does it say in the Bible? Yes, it says he has a wife. No. It calls her something. Isaiah in chapter 8, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 8, verse 3. It does not ever say her name. Which is strangely odd because everybody else's wife, their name is mentioned. But it does say something about her. In Isaiah 8:3, and I went into the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Never gives her name, just calls her a prophetess. That was Isaiah's wife. Apparently it wasn't easier, huh? Terry asked her Sunday school class to draw pictures of their favorite Bible stories. She was puzzled by Kyle's picture, which showed four people on an airplane. So she asked him which story it was meant to represent. Kyle replied, "The flight to Egypt." "Oh, I see. And that must be Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus," Miss Terry said. "But who was the fourth person?" "Oh, that's Pontus, the pilot." I'll give you one more. A boy was sitting on a park bench with one hand resting on an open Bible. He was loudly exclaiming his praise to God, singing, "Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is great." He yelled without worrying whether anyone heard him or not. Shortly after, along came a man who had recently completed some studies at a local university. feeling himself very enlightened in the ways of the truth and very eager to show this enlightenment, he asked the boy about the source of his joy. He says, "Hey," asked the boy in return of bright laughter, "don't you have any idea what God is able to do? I just read that God opened the waves of the Red Sea and led the whole nation of Israel right through the middle." The enlightened man laughed lightly, sat down next to the boy, and began to try to open his eyes to the realities of the miracles of the Bible. That can only be very easily explained. Modern scholarship has shown that the Red Sea in that area was only 10 inches deep. It was no problem for the Israelites to wade across. The boy was stumped. His eyes wandered from the man back to the Bible, laying open on his lap. The man, content that he had enlightened a poor, naive young person to the finer points of scientific insight, turned to go. Scarcely had he taken two steps when the boy began to rejoice and praise louder than before. The man turned back to ask the reason for his resumed jubilation. "Wow," exclaimed the boy happily. "God is greater than I thought. Not only did he lead the whole nation of Israel through the Red Sea, he topped it off by drowning the whole Egyptian army in 10 inches of water." That's positive thinking and knowing that God is a great God and can do all things. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. We only got one verse tonight, one verse. It's more of a lesson than a sermon tonight. The sevenfold spirits of God. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and stand with me. Revelation 4 and verse 5. And the word of God says, "And out of the throne proceeded light, lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fires burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Father God, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for the time that you allowed us to be in your house today. Lord, for the freedom to worship you and to read your word, your inspired written word, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation through him, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the comforts that you have given us. And Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, if there be a lost one that's here tonight, that one will be saved. Lord, I know it's just a lesson tonight that you've given me, but help us to glean and to learn, Lord, what you have for us. Lord, help your unworthy servant to preach. And Lord, bless the reading of your word into the hearts of your people. And Father, may you receive all the honor and the glory tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We often, I think, take our salvation for granted. There is so much more that we gained when we got saved than what we realize. We rejoice and we're glad and we're joyful for our home in heaven. We rejoice and we're glad and we're joyful that we're no longer going to go to hell. And you know, we rejoice about the simple things, I think, of salvation. But I think there's so much that lies deep within our salvation that we don't even realize because we don't search the scriptures deep enough. We rejoice in the Holy Spirit that comes inside of us, and we say that the Holy Spirit guides us in the truth and the light of the word and burns our hearts when we're going to get in trouble and everything else. And I think that's just we look at such a small portion of what God has really given us through our salvation. Tonight we read of the seven spirits of God, and that is the seven portions or parts of the Holy Ghost. And like I said, it's going to be more of a lesson tonight. I won't take much of your time, but I think we ought to study our Bibles more and truly learn what God has given us. He's given us so much in our salvations, and this is just a start in our launching pad. And to be honest, we won't truly have a good understanding till we get home in heaven. But I think we can do a better job in recognizing what a blessing that we truly have in our salvation. It is so much more than what we say it is. It is so much more than what we believe, because we really don't know the full extent of it. So if you would with me, just give me a little bit of your time. The first, Spirit of Truth. If If you would, turn with me in John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13, when we look at the Spirit of Truth. And can I tell you, each aspect of the Holy Spirit is very important and very vital. John chapter 16 and verse 13. I have it typed out, but I like reading from my Bible. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will shew you things to come, or to show you things to come. The verse above it gives enlightenment to this verse. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Can I tell you, the Spirit of Truth is what helps us to understand God's Word. The Spirit of Truth was what enabled the writers of the Bible to pen what God gave them. Because of the Word, is it not the truth? That is what the Spirit of the Truth's job is to do, is to show us and give us understanding of the Bible. We often hear many times, well, I just don't understand the Bible. I can't understand what God is saying in these words. Or the these and the thous, you know, they mess me up. Can I tell you, oftentimes because that person is lost and they don't have the Spirit of Truth inside them to guide them through the Word of God. It takes the Holy Spirit's guiding to teach us His written Word. The Bible even says that. So this first Spirit that God that we learn about is the Spirit of Truth. Because without the Spirit of Truth, we can't even go further into the gospel records. We can't even go further into the Word of God. Because we had to have that Spirit inside of us to tell us the truth of His Word. To show us what He has hidden, the secrets. The Holy Spirit's helped the disciples also to remember everything that they were taught while Christ was alive. It helped them to recite the verses or to give back what God, the stories of Christ. It helped them remember the events that took place. It helped them remember what He has spoken to them. Because when Christ was alive, they did not pen the Bible. It was not until after His death that they started to pen the Bible. The Spirit of Truth guided them in this. The Spirit of Truth is what guides us when we recite verses. When we go to give Scripture. When we go to battle. And when God brings up something in our hearts and our minds that we have learned. But the Spirit of Truth already has to be there. For the Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Even Christ Himself used the Spirit of Truth, God's Word from Exodus, to defend Himself against the devil on the mount. We have to have the Spirit of Truth in us. The next Spirit is the Spirit of Holiness, Romans 1:4. The Spirit of Holiness, Romans 1:4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of Holiness by the resurrection from the dead. 1 Peter 1:16. He says, because it is written, be holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is the only way that we stand a chance to be holy as God is holy. This portion of the Spirit allows us to be in Christ-like manner. This portion, the Spirit of Holiness, draws us closer to God and Himself. For we have to have this portion to stand a chance to do what it says in 1 Peter, to be ye holy, for I am holy. For without this portion, we are but human beings and we would fail. So we have to have the Spirit of Holiness in us as one portion of the Holy Spirit to guide us in a Christ-like manner, to help us to be Christ-like, to help us to have the mind of Christ and to be holy. The third one is the Spirit of Faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Ain't nothing like a Bible drill. 2 Corinthians 4:13. we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believed, and therefore speak. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. Psalms 116:10 says, I believed and therefore have I spoke. I was greatly afflicted. The same spirit of faith is equally given to each and every one of us. Did I die? The spirit of faith is what we need to go forth and to conquer for Christ. The same spirit that David has is the same spirit that is in us. The same spirit that Daniel has, the same spirit is in us. We had, and he gave us equally portion. He didn't give each a different portion based on who they were. But we are all given the same spirit of faith. But of course, faith is like a muscle. It has to be exercised. Some exercise it more than others. But it takes a spirit of faith to go out and be a witness for God. It takes a spirit of faith to go out and do the things that the Bible has asked us to do. It takes a spirit of faith to be obedient to God's word. It takes a spirit of faith to live a godly and holy life. Spirit of wisdom. Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 1:17. Spirit of wisdom. Says, the Word of God says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is the portion of the Holy Spirit that opened our eyes to salvation. Revelation isn't the word or it means an unveiling. This portion of the Spirit made known to us that we were sinners. This portion of the Spirit is the one that chastens us and tells us. This portion of the Spirit opens our eyes that the devil has blinded. This portion of the Spirit, praise God, is what shows us we're lost sinners. It's a very, very important portion of the Spirit because it's the first one that we're truly introduced as sinners. This one, like I said, opens our eyes and shows us that we're lost. And allow God to speak to us. It's a wonderful thing. Somebody, you know, our teachers had to show us the Word of God. Our teachers showed us what the Bible says and says we're all sinners and everything. Our teachers and our even the preachers of the church and everybody with vacation Bible school instructors and everything, they show us what God's Word says. Without this portion of the Holy Spirit to unveil the truth in our hearts, we would have never realized it. It's a wonderful portion that opens our minds to who God is. The next one, of course, is the Spirit of power, 2 Timothy 1:7. The Spirit of power. The Word of God says, for God hath given us the spirit of fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And of course, we know that love is fruit of the Spirit, but the spirit of power. Micah 3:8 says, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sins. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Spirit of power is what gives us strength to keep going. The Spirit of power is what sustains us in our time of need. It strengthens the weak knees, and strengthens the backs of those that have labored for a long time. The Spirit of power keeps us going, motivates us to do more for God and increase our righteousness for Him. It guides us and directs us, even when we feel like quitting. The Spirit of power convicts us to keep on going. In Hebrews 10:29, we see the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:29, the Spirit of grace. The Word of God says, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be taught worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Grace, by definition, is favor, goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another as a grant made as an act. Grace is a free, unmerited love and favor of God. The Spirit of grace is the favorable influence of God, divine influence or influence of the Spirit. It says, my grace is sufficient in 2 Corinthians 12:9. The application of Christ's righteousness to a sinner is grace. It says, where sin abound, grace did much more abound in Romans 5:2. Grace is a state of reconciliation to God, Romans 5:2. Also, virtuous or religious affection of disposition. Spiritual instructions and edification in Ephesians 4:29. Grace is apostleship or the qualifications of an apostle, Ephesians 3:8. Grace is also eternal life and final salvation in 1 Peter 1:13. Grace is forgiveness where we don't deserve it. Grace is a renewness to God. Grace is the second chance after the second chance after the second chance. Grace is love. So, you know, one of these days I think we'll have words to truly define what grace is from God. Next one is Spirit of Glory, 1 Peter 4:14. Spirit of Glory. If ye be reproached by the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. We know what glory is. Glory is the brightness of God. Glory is the illumination. Glory is, it belongs to God. We know when Christ was on the mountain, that he shone in all his glory. We know when Moses come down off the mount, they couldn't even look at him because he had been with God and the glory of God shone white upon his face. And we know that expression, the glory of God is upon them. When somebody comes up from praying for a while, somebody walks out of a service and they've been touched, or somebody's been reading their Bible and they've been talking with God for a long time, there's a glow about them. When somebody has truly been repented of all their sins and they are refreshed and renewed, there's a glow. That's the glory of God. The glory of God is repentance, is salvation. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him that was excellent glory. 2 Peter 1:3. In this passage of Peter, the later word glory refers to the visible splendor or bright cloud that overshadowed Christ in his transfiguration. The former word glory, though the same in the original, is to be understood in a figurative sense. Glory means splendor or magnificence. Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like none other. The circle of rays surrounding the head or a figure in a painting. Praise ascribed to adoration and honor is glory. Glory to God in the highest, it says in Luke 2:9. Honor, praise, or fame. The felicity of heaven prepared for the children of God, or celestial bliss is glory. Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Glory is everything that awaits us in heaven for his honor and for his glory. In Scripture, the divine presence of the ark, the manifestation of it, was glory. honorable representation in 1 Corinthians 11:8. And the heavens declare the glory of God in Psalms 19:1. The seven manifold spirits of God are very vital to our Christian walks. We often say if we leave out one portion of the armor, we'll get hurt. We often say that, you know, we miss one fruit of the Spirit and we're not a right Christian because we're supposed to have all of them. Can I tell you, if we don't exercise all seven portions of the Spirit of God, we're not in the fullness of what God can do for us. It takes all seven portions of the Spirit of God to guide us and to direct us in all wisdom in order for us to walk a just and holy life, in order for us to be able to interpret God's Word, in order for us to be able to stand in His power and His might and to go forth proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes all portions of the Spirit. And if we forget one, then we've lost out. If we forget one, then we're not whole as He is whole. But the worst part about the Holy Spirit is we often let Him lay aside. We don't use Him. We ignore Him. And we do. The Holy Spirit chastens us. And what do? We push it back. The Holy Spirit tries to guide us to go to talk to somebody. And what do? We push Him back. The Holy Spirit wants to give us strength to go do something for God. And we push Him back. What does the Bible say about denying the Holy Spirit? It is a sin. The Holy Spirit was given as a gift, as a special gift, as part of our salvation, to lead us in all the ways of Christ that we're supposed to go. He has given us Himself to come and dwell in us. How else are we supposed to be Christ-like if we don't use the seven spirits of God inside of us? We're not going to succeed. This is a very special gift that was given to us when we receive Christ into our hearts as our Saviors. And there's many, many more gifts in the Bible if we would just open the Word of God and study and allow Him to show us the full extent of our salvation and how precious it seriously is and it truthfully is. It's so much more than just a home in heaven. There's so much more in the depths and the width of our salvation that God gave us than we realize. I know it's just a lesson tonight, but we'll have a short invitation. During this time, I'd like you to especially pray for Anita. Matter of fact, if we could all join together, that would be great, to lift that child up and ask God to lay His loving hands upon her. As a church body, she's one of ours. She was saved at youth camp last year. She was baptized here as a member of this church. And you know, she lays mostly paralyzed right now in a hospital bed. I don't really think we need a piano tonight. But if we would all come to the altar just for a couple minutes and just lift up this church, lift up Brother Matt Wood as he comes, but may we raise our hands for Anita and ask God to bless that child. The altar is open.